Father, again, we are thankful to you this morning. Even as the songs that we have sung, and I pray that they're a reflection of our hearts, Lord, that we can sit here this morning, and even as I stand here this morning, we can say the words, "It is well with my soul." We can rest in the assurance that we are fully known by you, and that there's nothing that will ever take place in our life that will take you by surprise. Lord, we do pray now that as we turn to your word, just that you would silence our hearts, and that we would be open to receive what you have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I have a few things before you, and really represent some of the accomplishments that I've been able to make in my life. 2004, I set out and went to Baptist Bible College and ended up going to the seminary, and I actually earned two diplomas while I was there. I actually graduated with honors. Not everybody gets to wear one of these when they walk down the aisle, right? I got two sets. That's because my wife edited all my papers. Really, it was a lot of work, a lot of expense, and when you're 34 years old, it's not easy to go back to school. So that was a major accomplishment for me to graduate with a bachelor's degree and then go on and earn a Master of Arts, and actually I've earned enough credits that I'm two-thirds of the way done with the second master's degree. Not only have I had some success academically, I've been able to go on a few missions trips. Actually, one of the first missions trips I went on was to the Ukraine. And these little Matryoshka dolls represent that. The little stacking dolls are inside of each other. We brought back as souvenirs. But the first time I went back-to-back years. The first year I went to help do construction. I was in Odessa. We were in a village outside of Odessa, and we were actually helping a local pastor there in that village turn a house into a church. And so me and two other guys, along with the pastor, managed to pour a concrete floor in that church in a few days' time using methods that none of us have ever seen before. And not being able to communicate with the pastor as he showed us how to do these methods that we had never done before, because we didn't have a translator when we were in the village. Difficult time. Took time off work. And if you've ever traveled to where there's a time difference of 8 hours or more, it's taxing on your body. Would follow up the next year, return to Odessa with the youth group, and would work with the youth as we would help the local church there in Odessa put on a youth camp. And it was just amazing to see how God worked. Really don't recommend ever swimming in the Black Sea. When anything white comes out looking like you just got out of a cup of tea, not good. But they loved it. We did it anyhow. Also managed in 2014 to go to the Philippines. I have a nice little jacket here that is an extra large and will not fit most small people. When Laura and I were in the Philippines, it was kind of felt like Sesame Street. Which one's not like the others? And we stood out. And we left on a Wednesday. We returned on a Wednesday. I don't encourage you traveling halfway around the world and coming back in 7 days. We left on Wednesday. We didn't get there till Friday. And so it was a long trip. It was exhausting. And it was a missionary that we supported. It was a local pastor. He said, "Hey, I would love for you to come and speak at our church anniversary." And so we went as a result of being there, being a guest speaker from America. The people were lined up outside of the auditorium, onto the street. Excuse me. And at the end of the service, when the altar call, there was 50 people stood up to make decisions for Christ. So I've been able to make some accomplishments, and God has blessed me on mission trips. Also blessed me in another way. I have a Bible up here, and it was about 10 years ago that I decided to start memorizing Scripture. Started off Romans chapter 8. It was one of those things, random verses didn't seem to make sense to me. If I was going to memorize it, one of them didn't make sense. So I started with Romans chapter 8. I encourage any, just read Romans chapter 8 over and over again. It's a powerful chapter in God's Word. But as I finished Romans chapter 8, I thought to myself, I wonder if I can memorize the whole book. And sure enough, over time, I managed to memorize 16 chapters of Romans. Went on to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. went on and memorized the book of Colossians, four chapters, the book of Philippians. I've memorized Psalm 139, Psalm 51. I've memorized four chapters of James and working on chapter 5 currently. These are things I don't speak of much, but if I were to fill out a resume, that may seem pretty impressive to people. But church, I want you to understand, all these accomplishments, everything that would look good on a resume, if it wasn't for the cross of Christ, would mean nothing. And sometimes I wonder if we don't take the cross of Christ for granted. And honestly, I think as we conclude the book of Galatians today, that's some of the issues that Paul had with them adding circumcision to salvation, is because it takes away from the cross. One of the things we're going to see as we finish this book, if you'd open up your Bibles in Galatians chapter 6, we're going to look, look at verses 11 through 18 this morning. Really, as we look at verse 11, we see that Paul is winding down. He makes a few concluding remarks. In verse 11, we read the following. He says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand." Now, many scholars believe it is at this point, as Paul concludes this letter, chapter 6, he literally takes the pen out of the scribe's hand and finishes the letter by himself. It was common for Paul to write using a scribe. In fact, in chapter 16, Tertius is actually allowed to mention himself as the scribe of the book of Romans. And this was a common practice. But it's at this point Paul saying, no, I'm going to finish the letter. He says, look at the large letters I'm using. And some would believe that's because Paul's eyesight was poor, but I believe it was used to stress emphasis. Paul says, I want you to get this. I want you to pay attention to these last few words that I have for you in this letter. What I have to say is very important. And think about this. This morning, if we want to make sure that we don't take the cross for granted, we need to listen to what Paul says, how he concludes this letter. And really, the one thing we have to think to ourselves, am I so sold out to Christ? Do I appreciate the cross enough and what Jesus has done for me that I'm willing to face persecution? Because as we look at the next verse, as we look at verse 12, and Paul in these first few verses, he's really condemning those who have spread the false gospel, and he tells why they have done it. In verse 12, he says, "As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ." So here we have these Jewish people. They believe that Jesus died on the cross. They believe that they can be saved by trusting in Him. But they're worried about persecution. That's exactly what Paul says. The reason they're making a show, the reason they're trying to get you circumcised, is because they fear the persecution that will come their way. And I'm sure in your mind, they're like, well, we're still saying that Jesus is God. We still say that He died for our sins and that He rose again. What's the big deal if we have circumcision? I mean, is it really going to hurt anything? Well, we spent a lot of time in this book, in this letter, where Paul would argue, yes, it's a big deal. And why did they do it? Because they didn't want to face persecution. And let's face it, the Jews hated Christians during Paul's day. Paul was persecuted because of his faith. In fact, you read in Acts chapter 17, as he's in Thessalonica, Paul would manage to escape, but he had stayed in Jason's home. And even though Paul was gone, they dragged Jason out into the streets. They made this huge public spectacle because they disapproved of the gospel message. They didn't like the fact that it was saying, you no longer need the law. You live by faith. And they didn't like the fact that it was taking the attention off of them and putting it on God and what He's done. And for that reason, they persecuted Christians. Folks, there's a lot of pressure today to turn away from the truths of the Bible. In fact, it was just this last week I read an article that someone was running for office, and I don't know if it was their opponent or who it was, and this person was a Christian, and they were saying, so because of your faith, because you are a Christian, you believe that the Muslims will be condemned to hell. Or you believe XYZ will be condemned to hell. As Christians, do we believe that? It's what the Bible says, right? But they were using that. They didn't want to listen to the fact that as Christians we believe that all men are created in the image of God. They didn't want to hear all those things, but they wanted to make him look bad. They wanted to make him look narrow-minded. They wanted to make him look unfit to serve in office because of his faith. Why did they make a big deal about that? Because the Muslims believe the same thing about us, right? I mean, that, it goes both ways. And folks, we are entering into a period of time in our country like we've never seen before. And the reality is, we need to be ready to face persecution for what we believe. And unfortunately, too many Christians have fallen short when it comes to that. They caved to the pressure, much like the Jews did, the Christian Jews did in the book of Galatians. They caved to pressure. We have denominations that have caved to the pressures, that they're accepting things that the Bible says is wrong as okay. And we had a little bit of a discussion about this last Sunday evening, and I hope I wasn't misunderstood. It really doesn't matter what sin you have committed. It doesn't matter what lifestyle you choose. If it's against God's word, it's sin. Last week we were talking about a particular sin, and I think someone felt that I was pointing it out. But my problem isn't with that sin I feel is greater than any other sins in this particular case. My problem is people want to say it's not a sin at all. That's the problem. So we have to be able to stand on what God's word says. Because the reality is, we go down the path and say, well, this is not a sin. And we say, this is not a sin. And we keep going on that because we're fearing persecution. Next thing you know, everything's okay. And if everything's okay, why do we need the cross to begin with? So we need to be willing to stand firm on God's word, even if it means persecution. As we continue on, not only do we need to be willing to face persecution, but we also need to understand that we are guilty of sinning. Again, in verse 13, he's continuing to talk about the Jews who are adding circumcision. As he says, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. You know, it's clear that these folks, I mean, they're big, they're pushing circumcision and all this thing because it's part of the law, but yet they're a bunch of hypocrites. They don't even keep the law. Yes, you need to do this, but they don't keep the law. Church, I wonder if we're not guilty of doing the same thing. We point our fingers at all the people outside of these walls. We point our fingers at all those who are on the news, and we point our fingers and point our fingers. But do we ever really stop and think about our sins? It was interesting, as we talked last Sunday evening, we were talking about, last week we talked about not being deceived. And the idea really is that sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking that how we live our lives is okay, when really we're guilty of sinning. And we went through some of the verses in chapter 5, 19 through 21, and we bring up the idolatry. It's one of the lists of the sins of the flesh. Like everybody's, oh yeah, we've done that. Oh, yeah. You know, it was like, oh yeah, sure, we're all guilty of having something in our life above God. But as we were talking about it, it was like, yeah, we're all guilty of that. It's okay. No, it's not. Now think about that. If we really want to appreciate the cross, we need to understand our guilt. Yes, we've been saved. Yes, Christ paid the price for them all. But do we really think when we commit a sin that Jesus on the cross paid for that very sin that we just committed? When we get angry, when we lose our temper, when we say something we shouldn't, do we really think about Jesus had to pay the price for that? think often we're just guilty of justifying our sins. We get angry, it's someone else's fault. If they would just do it my way, we'd never have a problem, right? Folks, it's when we really comprehend our sins, we recognize how unworthy we are to be saved. So when we really comprehend our sins, we recognize the magnitude of what took place on the cross. It says, Christ died once for all sin. As He hung on the cross, as God poured out His wrath on our Lord and Savior, every sin that had ever been committed, ever would be committed, from the time of Adam to the time of the new heaven and new earth, was put and placed on Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty, He paid the price, He took the punishment that we deserve. And when we take our sin and we don't recognize the magnitude of our sin, I think we take the cross for granted. Just this past week, I was reading Luke 7. If you're reading through the Bible plan this year, you probably read it as well. And it was the story of the woman that came to Jesus as He was eating. And she was there and she was weeping and crying and wet His feet with her tears and wiped His feet with her hair. And then would get out some expensive perfume and anoint His feet. And those who were around and the Pharisees and all those were thinking, if He only knew how great a sinner that woman was. Immediately Jesus, knowing their thoughts, would turn around and give a parable. And He would talk about two people that owed money. One a great debt and one a small debt. And both debts were forgiven. And He said, who do you think appreciated Him more? The response was, well, the one that had the greater debt. And then Jesus would conclude with the following in Luke chapter 7, 47. He would say, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to him little is forgiven, the same loves little. Folks, if we don't recognize the magnitude of our sins, if we justify all our sins, it affects our relationship with God. It is when we recognize all our wrongs, even what in our minds is insignificant. It affects our relationship with God. It's when we recognize that every sin is an offense to God that it will help us love Him more, knowing just how much we've been forgiven of. I think it's as we do that we appreciate the cross more and more. And as we continue on, we see that we're not to boast in our works. Verse 13b, he continues on to talk about it, but he says, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. What was their motivation? Their motivation was to get people circumcised. It appears their motivation was to have bragging rights. Look at what I've accomplished. Look, I want others to take notice. Church, we need to recognize that God is the only one worthy of glory. It is true we've been entrusted with the gospel message. It is true that God has chosen us to share that message. A message of truth, a message of hope. A message that says if we confess with our mouth Jesus Lord and believe in our hearts God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. But we are just the deliverers. We don't save anyone. It's only when the Holy Spirit opens their eyes to the truth of that message that that seed can take root. It's only then that they will accept Christ as their Savior. It seems like we get things so upside down because in our pride, we want to take credit for the things that we've done. Even as pastors, you see it happen. I get together with other pastors, pastors you may not know. It doesn't take long. And guess what the number one question is? How many are in your congregation? Why is that important? Really, I hope that as pastor we get together, how many souls have been saved as a result of what God's been doing in your church? But But it's true often. That's one of the first questions. How many are in your congregation? How big is your church? Right, it doesn't matter. Yes, I desire for this church to succeed. But the important thing is that God is the one glorified. We cannot take credit for what God has done. And when we begin to boast and when we begin to get arrogant and prideful, we take away from the significance of the cross. On the flip side of that, we need to make sure that Jesus is the one to be glorified. As we look at verse 14, Paul would go on to say, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." I see, Paul's making a statement that most Roman citizens would never make. To even bring up the cross was kind of a forbidden thing to do in Rome. It was actually provoked. Dr. Constable said it was a symbol of unspeakable horror. You know, what does Paul say? I glory in the cross of Christ. And again, I think, folks, we need to be careful in this area. And really, this all kind of works together what we've covered in the previous verses. We so need to fight the urge to think better of ourselves than we ought to. But it's easy to allow pride to creep in. And if we're not careful, we can feel pretty good about ourselves. We can almost get to the point where, well, yeah, sure, why wouldn't God save me? I'm a good person. Now, we know that wouldn't be appropriate to say. That doesn't mean we don't feel it. The reality is, we are no more worthy to be saved than those pilots who flew the planes in the building in 9/11. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed, how insignificant it may seem, the least of the sins in our minds and are in God's mind are all equal, because any sin is sufficient to condemn us to hell. Bible makes it clear. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. If it were not for the cross, we'd all be headed to an eternal lake of fire. We're not saved through the church. We're not saved through baptism. It is through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. And I believe that's why Paul would say, and Paul was one who gloried in the flesh, gloried in his accomplishments. We read about it in Philippians chapter 3. When he glories about all the accomplishments he's made in the flesh, but then he says, "But what things are gained to me, these I have counted loss for the sake of Christ." And I believe that's kind of the same thing he's saying here. I no longer glory in anything I've done. My glory is in Christ and Christ alone. It's in the cross. They go on and say, "I've been crucified to the world, and the world's me." Basically, he says, "I am no longer. I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me." And really, the same is true for you and I. We put our trust in Jesus to save us from our sins. We have been united with Christ, and we have died to the world. We've died to the flesh, and the world is dead to us. We have the ability to choose to walk in the Spirit, as we've seen already in this book. And we can choose not to sin. It is because we have been crucified with Christ that we have the ability to live a life that is pleasing to a holy God. Paul would continue on. It is clear that it is because of the cross and because of our faith in what Jesus did there that we are new creatures. Verse 15, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." Paul makes it clear that what really matters is that we are a new creature. What makes us new is faith in Jesus, the work of the cross. And I love this, circumcision or uncircumcision. Folks, we need to preach this message loud and clear. When it comes to the cross, there is no division. I don't know about you, but aside from coronavirus, I'm sick of the political realm. I'm sick of the division that has taken place. reality is, at the cross does not see gender, it does not see color, it does not see past. The cross gives equal opportunity to all who will put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And whoever does that, whoever puts their trust in Him, they are a new creature. If you are here this morning, you have put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, you are a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. May we never take that for granted. And I believe it's also, as we continue on, and if we put our confidence in the cross, we can have peace. Verse 16, it reads, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. It's as we walk as a new creature, as we walk according to the Spirit, we can have peace. We can have peace with God. You know, Romans 5 tells us when we were enemies with God, He reconciled us to Himself through the death of His Son. And you go on to Ephesians 2, it says, before we were saved, we were objects of God's wrath. But yet, as we put our faith in Christ and what He did on the cross, we have become, we've gone from enemies and objects of His wrath to being children of God. We've been given eternal life. We've been given an inheritance. We are now at peace with a God who cannot stand sin. But not only that, I believe there's an inner peace that we can have as well. As we think about the cross, as we think about the words of Jesus as He hung there before He took His last breath, He would say, "It is finished." Means that all the price, means the price for all sin was paid. We've already discussed that this morning. But think about what that means for you and I. It means we no longer have to try to earn merit with God. If you think about that, so many people live with that belief system that if I'm good enough, I'm going to go to heaven. How do you ever know if you've done enough good? Would you really want to keep a log of all the good things you do compared to all the bad things you do? Are you sure? Because you're good people, right? Yeah, we have to even write down the bad thoughts. That really makes it hard, doesn't it?
You need to go back and look at that list.
The list in chapter 5? You know, if you really had to think about everything you did, and you thought the only way you could get to heaven was by being good, would it be a life of peace? It would be a life of turmoil, wouldn't it? Especially if you believed hell is real as it is. Is as we put our trust in the work of the cross, as we make sure that we don't take it for granted, we can find peace. As Paul would wind down in verse 17, we see that to truly appreciate the cross, we cannot be ashamed to be identified with Christ. As Paul would continue on and say, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I'll be honest, some people have taken this, and I believe they've taken it to mean something that it does not. Some believe that Paul actually would have marked himself, his hands and his feet, to be like those of Jesus because he was crucified. I believe this has to deal with the marks on his body from the beatings and the persecution that he took as he preached the gospel message. Paul would be stoned and left dead. For dead. Paul would be beaten with 40 lashes minus one. And that basically means really close to the edge of his life, because it was believed that 40 lashes would kill any normal man. So you take one away and they may survive. And so his bodies would bear the marks of what he had suffered for the sake of Jesus. But But really, Paul is not disappointed, and he gladly bears those marks. Fortunately for us this morning, we don't have to worry about being beaten with 40 lashes or being stoned because of our faith. We don't have to worry about someone marching through those doors. But when we walk outside of these doors, outside of these walls, when we stand up and say, I am a Christian, are we willing to be identified with Jesus Christ? And one of the ways that we do that now is through baptism. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we follow through with believer's baptism, and it has nothing to do with our salvation, but it is a way to be identified with Jesus in His burial, death, burial, and resurrection. It's a way to publicly say, I am not ashamed to be a Christian. And I've said it before, and I still believe it today. I think all baptism should be done at the city square, in public, or in front of your co-workers. Because back in the Bible times, that's what it was. I mean, and when people would identify as a Christian through baptism, the persecution would begin. It's a whole lot different when you're doing it in front of all your peers in a church. The reality is, we should never fear being identified with Jesus. We should never be afraid to claim to be a Christian. The reality is, Lord willing, none of us will face a time when we have to answer that question, are you a Christian? Knowing that if we answer yes, our life will end. But many have. It says, as we look to the cross and what Christ has done for us, we should be willing to be identified with Him. Play my prayer this morning as we conclude is we would think less of ourselves and more of God. To be honest with you, I don't like to talk about this stuff that I brought out this morning. I really don't. But I'll tell you this. I think about the journey I've had, and I think about the accomplishments I've had. If God were to take me out of ministry tomorrow, the 6 years of being a full-time student, the hours I put in memorizing scriptures, and all the things in the mission trip that God accomplished would be worth it because it's brought me closer to Him. My ministry would end tomorrow. My relationship with God would be better than it was before 2004 when I headed off to Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. For that reason, I'm thankful for that. And that needs to be our focus is on God and the significance of the cross and growing in a relationship with Him. It's because of the cross of Christ that we have eternal life. We have hope. We have peace. We don't have to panic because there's a virus going on. Worst case scenario, we're going to be in heaven worshiping. Right. How is that a worst case? By the way, I have allergies, so this cough should not worry you. Everybody hold your breath. The reality is, without the cross, we have no hope, we have no peace, and we'd all be doomed. Weren't for the cross, there'd be no reason to be here this morning. Pray that we don't take it for granted. Because I believe it's when we take it for granted we get lax in sharing our faith. In fact, my wife even shared this morning. And I thought it was quite insightful. She said, you know, so many people are worried about the possibility of getting this virus. And that it could be deadly or the causes it could have. And she goes, but yet, everyone has a sin problem. And yet we don't seem to be alarmed by that. If they don't trust in Christ, it's going to be eternity in hell. Far worse than anything this virus is going to bring. And yet, there's no panic. Seems like maybe we need to rethink and reevaluate in some of these areas. And again, if we really think about what God has done for us and the significance of the cross, it may change how we think. It says we live with light of the cross, and we can walk by the Spirit. We can strive to please God in all that we can do. We can give Him the glory that is due. I believe it's as we do this, as we live in the glory of the cross, we become a contagious church. Because it won't seem fake, it will seem genuine, it will seem real. Quite frankly, there's enough people playing church out there anymore. We need true, authentic Christians, people who glory in the cross on a daily basis, people who desire to bring glory to God's name and His name alone. And it says, we do this, we can lead others to the good news of the gospel message. How cool is it to know that we can be used by God to lead people to His Son, Jesus Christ. That as God uses us, we can watch others become new creatures. What a blessing it is that God has entrusted us with the gospel message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this your word this morning. We thank you for those who have made it. We pray for those who are not here. And Lord, we know some have good reason, and we just pray that you would watch over them, you would keep them safe. And Lord, we just pray that even as we leave here today, we would continue to glorify you for all that you've done and put our trust and hope in you, knowing that you hold our future in your hand. Lord, we pray that as we leave, we continue to remember the significance of the cross, the significance of the gift of salvation, and what it is you've done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.